824 Atlantic Avenue, Cocoa, Florida. 5 days later.
Anyone home?
In the kitchen.
The Sandman. Into the night.
Hi, Hal. Hi, you two.
Hi, honey. So they finally threw you out the hospital, huh?
You look tired, Rose.
How is he?
No change, Barbie. Still out cold. Concussion. And he's very dehydrated. They've got him on one of those, you know, drips.
Gee, that must be...
rough. Ken and I really...
don't like hospitals, do we, Barbie?
No, indeedy.
No. No, I don't like hospitals much either.
I'll make you a drink.
Hello, housemate. Zelda and myself intentionally delayed our bedtime in order to bid you bear up to your current problems with fortitude and hope.
Oh, hi, ladies. That's very kind of you.
We were... Zelda has a reassuring moral homily concerning God, difficult times, and a variable number of footprints in the sand. I will. She told it to me once, and it cheered me up remarkably.
That's nice. I'll hear it later, please, if you don't mind. Thank you, Chantal. Thank you, Zelda.
I think we all need some sleep, especially you. Here, Rosebud, I made you some herb tea. Drink it down, then go to bed.
Thanks.
Good night, Rosewalker. Zelda says good night, too.
Night, night.
Sleep tight.
Yeah, good night, guys. I'm sorry, Hal. It's just, I wish Mom could be out here. I sit there by Jed's bed, waiting for him to come around, wondering what kind of shape he'll be in when he does.
Sure you do.
But Mom has to stay on in England, looking after Unity. I don't understand it. Why do they both have to be sick at the same time? It shouldn't be me out here. It ought to be Mom. Good night, Hal.
Night, honey.
I feel so much older than I did when I arrived here. In the last 3 weeks, I've found an unknown grandmother and a long-lost brother. Now, it looked like I might lose both of them. Go to sleep, Rose. I can't. I'm too worried. And I'm so tired. So tired. I wish I could sleep.
As Rose struggles to find sleep, the other occupants of Hal's house are already deep in their dreams. Barbie and Ken sleep. She wears a pink frilly nightdress. He wears pajamas. Ken dreams. Ken's toothpaste smile has gone. His tanned beach boy face is crumpled in an anxious frown.
Talking money, boy, are you listening to me? Maybe 100 thou.
In his dreams, he can have it all.
Maybe talking money, boy. Maybe 100 thou, maybe more.
Or lose it all.
Talking money, boy, are you listening to me?
Barbie dreams. Barbie's dream life is surprisingly complex, a continuous and poetic story of magic and wonder in which she is Princess Barbara, with long blonde hair to her waist, an appropriate gown, and a pair of sunglasses. Her nightly quest for a lost treasure accompanied by a spirit animal, the huge, shaggy, and dog-like Martin Tenbones, has finally arrived at its climax. She and Martin stand inside the ribcage of an old, dead beast, greater than the last dinosaur. In front of them is an object shaped like a diamond, with sharp points cut into every facet. It is like a stylized star. It glints in the light of the sun, which hangs in the blue sky overhead.
Oh, Martin Tenbones, I can hardly believe that we are here at last, at the Arch of the Porpentine.
Our journey has indeed been long, Miss Barbara, and many's the worthy companion we have found and lost along the way.
So many good lives lost, Martin Tenbones. And because of what? Now I hold it. I realize it is just a confection of spun silver and rose quartz. Was it just for this?
The Porpentine is more than that, lady. As you know, in your soul of souls. Now, hold it fast and climb upon my back.
Yes, let us leave this place.
Remember, if the Porpentine is destroyed by the Cuckoo, then the Hierogram will be lost to the world forever.
I will not fear the disciples of the Cuckoo, Martin Tenbones, as long as you walk by my side.
And I will never leave you on your quest, my lady. Not while I live. Not ever.
Not ever, Martin Tenbones.
Chantal and Zelda sleep. The spider women in their huge old four-poster bed with tattered, veil-like, web-like drapes. Stuffed spiders on the walls look down on them, shrouded under a single sheet, dreaming separate dreams. Chantal dreams.
Oh, yes. I've been in a relationship. With a sentence. Just one of those things. A chance meeting that grew into something important to both of us. We liked the same things. I took it to a party. We were a big hit. The perfect couple. Everybody knew about me and the sentence. The sentence spent most of last year in Czechoslovakian for political reasons. But then it was translated back into English. In order to stop the sentence being deported, I arranged to have it read into the Library of Congress. However, when the time came, I discovered that I could no longer read. No, I have no idea what my sentence is about.
Despondent and joyless, Chantal begins to cry. Zelda dreams.
Curiouser and curiouser.
Zelda is a little girl with long blonde hair, dressed like Alice in Wonderland. She walks through a graveyard at night. It is half House of Horror, half necropolis, with towering cyclopean gravestones and monuments leaning at weird angles, like a German expressionist silent movie. It is night. Spider webs hang everywhere.
Mommy and Daddy told me to go away, so here I am in the old bone orchard. Nobody understands me, nobody cares, nobody else understands it. The beauty of the lost necropolis, the charnel charm.
Here, Zelda.
Chantal appears in the graveyard, a veil of spider's webs draped over her face, her features impossible to make out.
Oh, but Chantal comes along and shows me how she's my soul sister, me and her true gothic heroine, secret brides of the faceless slaves of the forbidden house of the nameless knight of the castle of the dread desire.
She sweeps the child Zelda up into her arms, holding her up in the air for a moment.
That's us. With Melmoth, we walk in the corridors of Otranto.
But looking up at the veiled face, Zelda remembers her mother finding the rat skull in their room that time. And as Chantal raises her hands to lift the veil, the old fear comes back.
And Chantal says, I'm going to take off my veil, Zelda, and oh God, I know it's going to be my mom's thing.
Oh, Godsey, you're sick. Listen, Robert, do you know what I found in her room? Your daughter's disgusting.
And I'll just start stammering and she'll make fun of me.
Hey, little moron, do you believe in Godzilla?
Let it be Chantal, not my mom, not my mom, not my mom. Please, God, please, God.
And Chantal lifts the veil of webs And it's not her mother.
Thank you, God. Oh, thank you.
It's the enormous multi-eyed head of a spider. Its mandibles twitching.
Now the little girl Zelda starts laughing. The little girl laughs. And laughs.
Hal dreams. Hal, naked and male, sits on the edge of a stage in a nightclub dressed to replicate the throne room of the Wizard of Oz. Hal dreams of Betty and Judy and Marilyn. They've come to tell him the big secret. He's always suspected there was a big secret.
Okay, doll, listen carefully. We're only gonna say this once.
Lost it. Some dream. A good dream. Woke up, sort of. Okay. Retreat back into warm, back into comfort, back into... what? What was in the dream? Judy Garland...
Of course, this isn't my real face, Hal. And this isn't my real face either.
Hal, you'll have to help me. I'm running out of hands.
Ignore the man behind the drapes.
Rose does not sleep.
Go to sleep, Rose Walker. Wind up the day. Let it go.
Hello, Rose? It's Mom.
Put the day away in its place, Rose.
Listen, honey. Unity's had some kind of stroke. She is almost 90. I can't leave her. Not now. Not now.
Forget the weird things that have happened in the last few weeks. You don't need them.
I'm sorry, Miss Walker. Honestly, it could go either way. On one level, it's astounding your brother is still alive, but then he's young. Go home. We'll call you if there's any change.
Forget the man in wolf ears who hurt you, and who wanted to hurt you worse. Forget the pale stranger with eyes like stars. Was he really there at all? When you try to remember him, he seems to fade and shimmer until he seems little more than the echo of a dream. You're tired, Rose. Wrap up the day. Sinking, slowly, downward, and inward. Enter a world where everything's going to be just fine. Unity will be fine. Jed will be fine. You're so tired. Just let it go. Where's Gilbert? Haven't seen him for almost a week now. Not since we got back from Florida with Jed, half-starved and dehydrated and scabbed and... No. Let it go. It'll still be there tomorrow. Gilbert? And sleep. And dream. Gilbert.
Excuse me, sir?
Whom?
Visiting hours are long over.
Indeed. Excuse me, nurse. I am on my way home, just passing to, look in on the young man in that room. Pay my respects. I'm, a friend of the family?
5 minutes.
Why, thank you.
In the dream world, Out in the open air, Morpheus, Lord of Dreams, stands high up on a carved outcrop of granite. He broods as he stares out at what appears to be a swirling, slowly turning whirlpool of mist, which is gathering energy and speed as he watches. Beside him is an ornate bird perch, and a large black raven descends to join him.
So it begins once more, the first vortex of this era. Nonetheless, there is something about this one, this time, that I do not understand.
To be honest, I still don't quite follow what's going on here. What is that thing?
It is the vortex, Matthew. It is also Rose Walker, and it is growing.
So what does that mean, Chief?
It means a number of things, Matthew, but they are not of your concern at this time. Your place is with the boy's mortal body in the hospital. There is someone you must bring to me.
I don't like hospitals.
For my part, I must deal with this vortex as I have dealt with the others in the past. As I must deal with anything that threatens the dreaming.
Ken's dream.
No.
Come on, big boy. Do it.
Do it.
Kenny.
Yes.
Do it.
No.
Do it.
Barbie's dream.
Oof. This place makes me uneasy, Princess. If the Cuckoo's forces mean to attack us directly, they needs must do it before we reach the brightly shining sea.
I understand.
Caution, Princess Barbara. I sense strangeness in the air.
What manner of thing, Martin Tenbones? The Cuckoo? The Hieromancer? Colonel Knowledge?
None of those. Something is happening, my princess. Listen.
You gotta just do it. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Chantal dreams.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Not quite a nightmare, but far from comfortable, Chantal is held like a crashed computer in an infinitely regressing loop of story.
It was a dark and stormy night, and the skipper said to the mate,
"Mate, tell me a story."
And this was the story he told. It was a dark and stormy night, and the skipper said to the mate,
"Mate, tell me a story."
And this is the story he told. It was a dark and stormy night. Skipper said, "Story." And this is the story. Dark and stormy night. And stormy. Story.
Zelda dreams.
Chantal wants her to tell her a story, and she says,
"In September of the year 1911, a post chaise drew up before the door of Aswarby Hall in the heart of Lincolnshire. The little boy, who jumped out as soon as it had stopped, looked around him with the keenest curiosity during the short interval between the ringing of the bell and the opening of the hall door."
Hal dreams. He sees Robert again. Not Robert as he proved himself to be, callow, self-centered, dishonest.
Robert.
No, this is the Robert he had hoped for, the Robert he had dreamed of. Friendly, open, magical. Their tune is playing in the background. Rose dreams. She knows she's dreaming. She's never had a dream like this before. Everything seems so real, so vivid, more true and more vital than the waking world. Her sense of identity has never been so certain. She can feel her sleeping body on the bed below her. It's no part of her. The essential her. The true Rose. Falteringly, she extends her perceptions. She sees Hal's house from outside, but with walls and ceilings cut away, as if a doll's house opened up, with all its occupants drifting through their dreams. She can feel them. Chantal, dreaming intricate self-referential loops, trying to reveal nothing of herself to herself. Zelda, still fighting old battles, the little girl lost in the woman whose heart she shares. Barbara's rich dream life.
If the Porpentine is destroyed by the cuckoo, then the hierogram will be lost to the world.
More valid and true than anything she feels when waking, Ken's churning world of money and sex and power, Hal's endless quest for identity and love, all of them seeking for a place to belong, all of them seeking a place to be safe. And she sees how simple it all is, sees how thin and fragile the walls that divide them truly are, sees how simple it would be to shatter them. She reaches out her mind and nudges. And the walls come tumbling down.
Barbie? Is that you? Where are we?
Ken? How did you manage to get to the place of Lost Carnadine?
The where? What is all this?
It is like a whirlpool of dreams. Not liquid, not solid. Like a thick gas or like ink poured in water, like clouds. Here and there are fragments of faces and images swirling around. Floating in the center of the maelstrom is the sleeping Rose, her hair whipped up and around as if by a high wind. She glows, a being of pure light, almost transparent, her robes trailing away into the darkness beyond the dreams. The other dreamers are caught in the vortex.
Chantal, I'm scared. What's happening to us?
I think we're dreaming, Zelda. I don't know. I'm not sure. Is that Rose?
I suppose so. It's so hard to see.
Ken? Barbie? Hello? Can you hear me? Am I sleeping? Am I dreaming? Are you?
And beyond. She can feel them across the city. A parade of sleeping minds. Each mind creates and inhabits its own world. And each world is but a tiny part of that totality that is the dreaming. And she can touch them. Touch all of them. She begins to free them, loosing them into the flux. Across the city, dreams begin to join and integrate, and in doing, they change the dreamers forever. And Rose, still dreaming, yet never so awake, understands, elated, that this is only the beginning.
There are so many dreamers. So many.
Rose's perceptions extend. So many new things. The brutal, towering dreams of the very young, the fine tracery of lace memories of the very old, and the others. All the others. And it would be so simple to create one huge dream. And then she feels the hands upon her shoulders.
Enough. Enough. Enough!
What happened?
You caused a great deal of damage. Nothing I cannot repair, not at this stage, anyway. I am the lord of this realm, Rosewalker, and I think the time has come for us to talk.
Oh. Oh. Ken wakes, troubled and horny. He presses close to Barbie, is surprised to find that she is awake and that she has been crying.
Honey? What's wrong? Why are you crying?
I don't know.
He says things to her then, in the darkness, that he will later regret. In Chantal and Zelda's room, the two women wake, scared and lonely.
Oh.
No.
They don't talk. They hold each other in the darkness, like sisters, until the dawn.
Oh, shit.
Hal wakes with a feeling of dread in the pit of his stomach. Through the thin wall, he can hear Ken's voice, too low to make out any words. For a while, he sits in the darkened room. Then he takes his flashlight. He walks, as quietly as he can, up the creaky wooden stairs.
Rose? Rose, are you awake? Rose? No.
Rose has gone. And somehow, Hal isn't at all surprised. More than 4,000 miles to the east. It's 4:30 in the morning in the nursing home. Miranda Walker hasn't slept for 2 days now. Her mother, Rose's grandmother, Unity Kincaid, lies quietly in her room. A soft bedside light illuminates her face, framed in the grey hair which is no longer pulled into a bun. Her eyes open a little. Her daughter is watching over her.
Miranda?
It's okay. Everything's okay. I'm here.
The doll's house?
It's still here. It's safe.
I think Rose should have the doll's house. But perhaps she's too old for it.
No. No, I think she'd like that, Mother.
That's good. I wish my parents could be here with me. It wouldn't be so hard. I wouldn't be afraid of dying if they were here. But at least I have you with me, Miranda, and so little time remaining. Stay with me. It makes the letting go easier to bear.
And then Unity is asleep once more. Miranda moves to the window, looking out at the grey dawn, and she thinks,
I didn't need that. I have a son who may be dying 4,000 miles away. I've got a mother who's dying here. What kind of an option is that then, God? If you're out there. If anyone's out there.
It's never been easy. She feels the cold of the glass against her palms. And she thinks,
at least Rose is all right.
This is all so bizarre, but it's just a dream, isn't it?
After a fashion.
I've never had a flying dream before. Whee! Say, whoever you are, do you know what Freud said about dreams of flying?
Tell me.
It means you're really dreaming about having sex.
Indeed. Tell me then, what does it mean when you dream about having sex?
Where are we going?
We are already here.
Okay, some kind of desert. So, what happens here?
It has begun.
Hi, kid. Oh, this place really gives me the, heebie-jeebies. Personal reasons, yeah. Yeah. Before I was a raven, I was a human. Government agent, too. Died in a coma in a place just like this. Technically, that's dying in your sleep, kid. Makes you a permanent resident of the dreaming. So now I am a raven. I work for the boss there. I don't know why he wanted me to come here, to be honest. I don't even think you can hear me.
No. I doubt that he can hear you, but I can. Whom?
Oh, hi.
I suppose I've been waiting for you, or someone like you. Someone who would come from the dreaming to take me home. I imagined that he would come himself, though. Or send someone I knew. I don't recognize you, little bird.
No. Well, I haven't been doing this for very long. It's all kind of new, but I'm getting used to it, and I think I like being a dream better than I like being a man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did some rotten things near the end. You know how it is. Just let's say let's just say I'm glad all that stuff is in the past and in another life.
But that was in another country, and besides, the wench is dead, I see. So, you were once alive, and you have become a dream. I was a dream once, but I left. And truth to tell, I have been rather enjoying being alive. Still, all good things. I shall miss life. I felt that I was getting quite good at it. And I believe I shall miss Rose Walker.
The Vortex?
Rose is a Vortex? Oh. Oh, dear, I suppose I should have realized.
Yeah, but it's okay. The boss said that he was going to deal with her. He said there'd be lots of other vortices in the past, and he dealt with them as well. So how does he do that?
He terminates their physical existence, little bird! To protect the dreaming. It's the only time he is empowered to take human life. You see, it's one of the rules.
Excuse me?
He's going to have to kill her!